They might be judged according to men and flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak with the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
All right, there you go. I was going to try and just stand up and talk to you, but if I keeled over, that wouldn't look good. So anyway, with all the pain and suffering, God is good no matter what. Would you say amen to that? You should have heard me Wednesday in the emergency room when they took me back, and I was screaming in agony, and a woman came by, one of the nurses, and she said something to the effect, "Can you hold it down?" Yeah, I can hold it down a little. And anyway, the last few days I have not been in good health, good shape, not health. I'm in great health once I get this operated on, and I don't plan on going anywhere. So I pray that you'll stay with me and we'll do this together. Does that sound okay? Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Chuck Swindoll, and if you ever get a chance, read his book, In Seasons of Life. He says, are you ready for a surprise? You blink 25 times every minute. Each blink takes you about 1/5 of a second. Therefore, if you take a 10-hour automobile trip, averaging 40 miles per hour, you will drive 20 miles with your eyes closed. Do you know where you're going? No, but I'm heading in the right direction. Years ago, Mel Gordon, he's passed away, but he made a statement as Christine and I joined other pastors going to New England. He had this hat with a brim in both ends. And on the front, he had, "I'm their leader." In the back brim, he said, "Where did they go?" "I'm their leader, but where did they go?" I want to talk to you today about gifts of grace. Gifts of grace. People give some of the most interesting things to people at Christmas time. I saw an ad on TV where this woman takes her husband outdoors and gives him the keys to a brand new Jaguar. And then she says, "The payments are $1,000 a month. But it's yours." You probably can remember some gifts from one of your children they gave you that Christmas you'll never forget. How many of you have seen those kind? And what do you do when you receive a gift you know you don't want it, nobody else does? It's sort of like going on a vacation and you send a card back from Florida with a note, wish you were here. You don't wish they were there. You ran away to get away to go down there. Isn't that the truth? Whoever said, please come on down, I'll pay your way. What do you do with all the money? Well, let me back up. It was Christmas time in our house, and I would give each one of my children a set amount of money to purchase a gift for their mom and for each other. I well remember my son buying Chris, you're going to laugh at this one, a package of bobby pins when she had short hair. I had not watched to see how he spent the money, and when Chris opened the gift, she looked at it and said, thank you. I took it aside and asked him, what did you do with all the money I gave you? His reply is, I found something, Dad, I really liked. For those of you who have trouble finding the right gift for others, there are those who can help you. Gifts for sharing. One time I gave Jennifer and Aaron, along with a gift, a note with a date with me at their choosing, aside from my obligations on the 7th. And I learned the most important thing my children wanted was me. Time. That's the same that's true of Christine today. We've often failed to live up to our potential. Do you believe that? Fail to live up to our potential. There are things we could do and we haven't done. Things we do, we should not have done. The Bible says in Psalm 103:10, I want you to just stay with me, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord God pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to see my new Bible. U.S. Army, Rocky Gale. Thank you, Michael. You're one of my best friends. I love you, my boy. 1 Peter 4, beginning there again in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. How many of you would say amen to that? Therefore, in light of that, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to each as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory, dominion, and I would add power forevermore. I love that. The Bible gives, Peter's going to give us five facts I want you to follow me with in just a moment. He was a leader in the church. Paul refers to Peter in Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2. when he tells how he went up to Jerusalem to see the leaders of the church. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 8 how he viewed Peter. For God was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. The Bible talks about how many apostles? How many disciples? 12. Who was the 12th one? You remember? They drew lots for him. Say it loud and clear if you remember. Matthias. Okay. Jesus didn't choose him. You know who the 12th disciple is? The Apostle Paul. Jesus chose him. Say amen. Jesus chose him. And Peter speaking to those who've been scattered throughout the known world. These people have been to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and had seen how God had poured out his Holy Spirit. Peter tells them they are to come out of the world and live lives for God, worthy of his calling. The greatest sermon in the New Testament is Acts chapter 2 and Peter. You say, well, Peter was just an old fisherman. How could he write such a polished piece of literature as he wrote in 1 Peter and 2 Peter? Well, I'll tell you why. He had spent time with Jesus. Say amen. When you spend time with Jesus, it wears on you, does it not? Oh, I love that. Okay, number one, I'm going to list five facts and touch briefly upon them. Attitude and altitude. Attitude and altitude. Those whom God will use will have an awareness of the serious of the times. In the light of their knowledge of the environment of the times, they will be governed by two things: clear-minded, able to make wise decisions, and self-control. Altitude and attitude. Peter indicates that attitude creates an atmosphere of prayer. Well, Peter had to learn from his own words, didn't he? You remember when Paul came to visit Peter, and Peter had sat down to eat lunch with the Gentiles, and in walked the Jews, and he separated from them. And Peter was obviously acting as a hypocrite, and Paul told him so. You're a hypocrite. Here's the man who walked on water. Paul says you're a hypocrite. Well, that's a little hard to take, isn't it? Paul, did you walk on water? No. I was beaten. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked. And Peter says, okay. I understand. Turn me to 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. I didn't feel like praising God Wednesday night. I was in agony. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in agony. My leg is burning like fire. But I want you to know something. In all things, give thanks to God. Because all things were to the honor and the glory of his calling. Number two, behavior among and benefiting from each other. Thank you, that's good. Behavior among us and benefiting from that behavior. I want to read verse 8 and 9 just one time again. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. The ones Peter talks about will have a deep love for one another. This love creates a sense of community where when infractions occur against each other, their love enables them to overlook these faults To put it bluntly, these people do not react in such a way that they're always offended. I don't want to live in an environment where I'm always walking on what? Eggs. I've had eggs shot at me when I was a kid, but never walked on them. You know what I mean by walking on eggs? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You know there are certain people, you get up close to them and you better not get too close because it's kind of edgy. What am I to say? They may, yes, I could say that. They may be offended. They may be offended. Is that a way that you want to live your life in God's house? If you are that intolerable of others, you need to reconsider your own life. Something's wrong. We do not want to live in an environment where we're walking on eggs, and often what we say starts the attitude. Words shape our destiny. They are a reflection of our thoughts. Number one, they transmit power. I don't know if you've realized this, but words transmit power. If I've heard nothing from the day I was born that I was a loser, I will live as though I was a loser until someone tells me I'm a winner. By your words, Jesus said, you will be justified or condemned, Matthew 12:37. Words reveal our character, which produces fruit. Words once spoken are often hard to overlook. And listen, if you're a leader, you're going to have to overlook it because Jesus has been there before. I remember a lady saying to me, I don't like you. I'll make it more personal. An elder told me this one time, I don't like you, and he wasn't coming to church. Years ago, don't try to figure out where it's from. And I called him and I said, I miss you at church. He said, well, to tell you the truth, Pastor Rocky, I don't like you. I never have. I almost said, join the club. But I said to him, but brother, I love you. You know what the response was? What do you say with that one, huh? But I love you. Christians in the early church expected Jesus to come in their lifetime. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, 12, that Jesus did not return, does not invalidate the promise of his coming in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. The Bible talks about present truth. Let me just read it. 2 Peter 3:12, briefly to you. Oh, I love the Word of God. Oh, I love the Word of God. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Did I get you the right text? Yes. His coming is soon, very soon. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't you want to love one another? Don't you want to care for one another? Would you say amen to that? I want to be loving and lovable. I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments to God found in Peter. I want you to listen to them. You have your Bible. You can write it beside the scripture if you want to. Ten Commandments. I found them. But you know that nothing's new under the sun, right? Yeah. All that is new is not true, and that which is true may not be new. Number one, be sober. Because your adversary walketh about as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:7. Number two, watch unto prayer. 1 Peter 5:7. Number three, love one another in hospitality. Number four, Oh, I'm sorry. Number three, have fervent love. Number four, use hospitality. Verse 9. That's verse 8 and 9. Number 10 and 11, master your spiritual gifts. Well, I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, some of us don't even know where we're gifted. We had a lady one time welcoming the saints into church. It's not true of this church. But she was welcoming the saints in, and I could not get this gal to smile. It was like a mountain waiting to crumble. So I asked her one day, just in talking at fellowship dinner, do you like greeting people? No, I don't. And I said, well, that's kind of what? Obvious, right? That's obvious. Years ago, I can't even remember her name, but I remember the thought. Whoops. So I said, what if I found you something you'd like? She said, something I'd like to do? I said, yes. What if I found you something you'd like to do that wasn't so taxing on you and the saints? I didn't say that, brothers. Did I say that? I didn't say that. We had her serve. As I think about it, I believe this was at the University Church in Orlando, but I'm not sure. The older you get, the mind dims just a tad, but my mind is pretty sharp. And we found her something to do. I forget exactly what it was, but the head elder named Roy Edwards said to me, guess what? I said, what? He said, so-and-so is happy now. I said, why is that? She doesn't have to deal with people. I don't know what church you can go to. You can't deal with people, you know. Here we are. Master your gifts. Think it not strange. Number six, expect the trouble. Expect the challenge. Problems are going to come to everybody. And as hard as this is to say to you, dear saints, we can pray and pray, Lord, remove this from me. But if we're doing God's will, he may not remove it from you when you think he ought to remove it. I've been dealing with this for 2 months. But I haven't lost my faith in God at all. Amen. Here's the next one. Rejoice, number seven. Number eight, do not be ashamed. Number nine, glorify God. Verses 16 to 18. And the 10th command, commit yourself to God. Number three, conviction and cooperation. We are accountable to God and his church for the use of our talents. If you're not using or giving yourself to God, then you are living for yourself. Would you say that's true? And no man who lives to himself and dies to himself will be saved. Sometimes it's hard to understand what's going on, isn't it? Hard to understand. You're convicted. You know things are difficult in this world. Here's a little levity for you. Four students walked into a halfway through the American history test my father was giving at the local community college. Sorry, they said, we had a flat tire. Hang on. An understanding man, Dad, said that if they could all answer just one question correctly, he would give them each an A for the exam. They thought, that's wonderful. The students agreed. So my father handed each one a piece of paper, a pencil, and he said, you're to go over here, you're to go over there, and you're to go over there, and you have one question, which tire was flat? Rocky, I thought it was good. All right, number four, dedication and demonstration, verse 11. Gifts need to be used authoritatively. These are God-given gifts. And sometimes we really mess out sometimes. The way we read situations, the way we read things, we misinterpret. Another levity. Listen to this. Even the head experts stumble every so often. Writing in her book, Eating My Words, former New York Times food critic Mimi Sheraton revealed that while dining out at a Japanese restaurant with her husband, Dick, she spotted what appeared to be a serving of shaved white daikon radishes, sitting in a bowl of soy sauce. Reaching over with a chopstick, she writes, I snared the mound and began to eat. When I noticed something strange, it tastes like paper soaked in soy sauce, so I announced to my husband. Looking up, Dick said, well, you're eating my napkin. That's what you call misreading, right? You know, when you're on the target, won't the saints tell you that? Amen. They will say, I am so proud of what you're doing for God. You know, I have a habit in this church of telling people, I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of this church. You're wonderful, wonderful people. I mean that. Every one of you. I love you. You know that. Don't you know that? I'm proud of you. The Bible talks about six gifts. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, R, 7. The I, these are called motivational gifts. And by the way, I've held spiritual gift seminars since 1977. Haven't I, honey? Way back. My heart was changed when I heard Bill Liversidge in Springfield, Massachusetts, talk about praying over a baby who had died way out in the African bush. He and an elder from the local mission field went out there, and the elder was black. And the whole clan of these tribesmen were Seventh-day Adventists. They had been convicted and converted. And the chief came out, and he spoke pidgin English, and he said, you talk to God, Papa God, you take life out, you put life back, and he held out his little baby boy, wrapped. He'd been dead for 4 days. Liversidge backed up. He told me, I backed up, and this black elder stepped to the front. He said, Papa God, you take life back, you take life out, you put life back. And this little baby's swaddling clothes began to move and twist. And then he cried. He said, I heard the breath. And he cried. And the chief took the baby back, took the rags off of this little baby, and he was alive. Ever since then, listening to Bill Liversidge, I realized we're not all the same. We're not all the same. That white missionary brother, Bill Liversidge, is a good man. It just so happened that this black elder in the mission field had more faith. Do you believe God can move mountains? Do you believe that? He is not subject to matter. The eye is the perceiver. The hands, this is the body now, are the server. The mind is the teacher. The mouth, the exhorter. The arms, the giver. Leadership, the shoulders. And last, compassion is the heart. That's the body of Christ. You'll be hearing more about this. I actually put it together like this. I've been watching you struggle. I want to reach out my hands and my arms and give you help. You seem so discouraged. I want to tell you how much Jesus loves you. It appears that you're having problems, financial problems. Allow me to shoulder your burdens and help you. Remember, everyone needs a friend and a loving heart who cares. That's the body. As we wind down, I want to invite the elders to come up front. We're going to ordain Brother Wes Franks today. And if you are friends, your relatives, or your acquaintances, please come to the front of the church. I want to tell you something that you will know now. Come on up here, Wes. I'm going to lean on you. Lean on you. If I am not strong. come on up here, elders. Come on, elders. Come on up here. The rest of the saints, step down there. Come right up real close. I want you all to have a fragment of this brother's body here. There you go. Let me say something to you, Wes. I called you, didn't I? You didn't call me. The moment I saw Wes, God said to me, he's an elder. You need to call him. And I said, but Lord, I don't know him very well. He said, you'll know him. God called me. And then he called Wes. And Wes said, I'm all the way in this. I want to be a leader for God. Amen? I had to kind of talk you into it, you know. That's a real leader when you have to talk them into that, you know. You do. We're going to ask you if you would to stand with us as we have this anointing ordaining prayer. If you come right around here, Jack, my head elder, come right over here on the side if you want, right there. Come right here, Dina, step right up close. And I'm going to ask Jack to pray first, and then I'm going to pray. Okay? All right, my brother, are you all set? Let me get you a microphone there. They've heard me for 30 minutes, so they don't need to hear me as much. You got it.
Dear Lord, we stand here before you this morning. You are the Almighty God,
Amen.
Creator of the universe. You stepped down off of that throne in heaven.
Yes.
Came into this cruel old world.
Yes, Father. Oh, Jesus.
Surrounded yourself with 12 men and said, let's go take the world.
Oh, amen.
Didn't seem possible, Lord. And now 2,000 years later, it still seems so far, far away.
Yes, Father.
But yet, we have seen your power.
Amen.
You walked the dusty trails of this old world.
Amen.
And you called people to follow you. And Lord, we believe that now you've called Wes to follow you.
Amen.
In a special way.
Amen.
To be a leader in your church here in Cottonwood, Arizona.
Yes.
Where there are so many people that haven't even heard about you yet.
Oh, amen, Lord.
Others walking down the wrong trail that need someone to come along and lead them.
Yes, Father.
And guide them to your truth.
Amen.
And I pray, just want to lift up Wes to you.
Amen, Father.
And Lord, no man is alone. And I especially want to pray for Holly.
Yes, Father.
That you'll put your arms around her.
Yes, Lord.
That she can be a living support.
Amen.
To Wes. Amen. And that they can be a man and a woman that people can look to and
yes,
see.
Yes, Father God.
That you can do mighty things.
Yes.
So now, Lord, we just pray that you reach down, anoint him in a special, powerful way with
yes.
your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To go from this place to love you.
Amen.
To serve you and to be your ambassador
yes.
to this church and to Cottonwood.
Amen.
We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I want to invite Brother Dennis to come. Please come, Dennis, and join us here before I pray. And come right on up here, Dennis. You've been a wonderful friend. Step right on in here. This is a man that you've helped groom.
Yeah. I've seen him grow in Christ.
Yeah. So I'm going to have you.
Praise Lord.
Oh, amen. I'm going to have you have this prayer. Go ahead.
Just, dear Father in heaven, we thank you for Wes. Watched him over many years, and I've seen him come and go. I've
yes.
seen him wonder about his relationship with you, and I've seen him step back and have been very worried about the brother. But Father, you now are calling him. You're
Amen.
Touching his heart.
Amen.
I pray that you will please come into him and fill him with your love.
Thank you, Father.
Just fill him up so full that he just can't help but overflow to others. Father, just please be with him now. Draw him close to you and give him strength. Give him wisdom. Give him courage to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was wonderful. God bless you, my brother. How many of you would say amen?
Amen.
We have a wonderful elder to our team. Watch the elders just grasp his hand and tell him we love you and we're glad you're part of this family. What a Lord. What a Lord. Hey, is this really a wonderful body, huh? I see Lindsay up front and Wes's relatives, and we're so happy about this. We're going to wind down with our closing hymn. Whoops. Here you go, sister. Oh, you got one? Okay.
This isn't the right song. Let's sing like we really mean it, okay?
Oh, amen.
It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. Thou love. be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Oh, girl, that was good. That was good. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you for coming this Sabbath.